Thank you, Greg. It was very good. I am not, never have been really a big technology person. So, like some, maybe, a lot of those things are very new even to me yet. But one question does come up many times that you touched upon that I hear a lot, and I appreciate the question being asked, is by some of our sisters, and like in reference to Facebook. And make this is kind of a little chain. Can I put a scripture on my... Could I post a scripture on my page? And if so, could a comment be made like, this is one of my favorites, or I get encouragement from it? Or then what would be the best way to know that they would not cross the line on the scriptural guideline?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to convert everybody on this today or convince everybody of what I think about this from what I understand from the Bible. If posting something on the internet, even if it's just a verse, constitutes public teaching, then I don't believe that a woman can do that. I mean, if she's posting a verse there, it seems to me like that's public teaching. You know, 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12 means something. And if it's okay to do it there, I mean, if that's a public forum and she can post a scripture there, would it be okay for her to stand on a street corner and recite verses? At the back of the church building, can she gather up a whole group of people and start reading the Bible and making a comment or two about that? I don't know. It seems to me like that violates 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12. I might be wrong about that, and maybe I'm missing something, and I'd be more than happy to get some help on this if I'm wrong. But I believe that violates 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12.
I think the confusion often comes in, like you mentioned earlier, is that the feeling of privacy. When you're sitting in your own room, you think it's private. But when you do send it out, it's no longer private. And so that does make a big difference. Appreciate your comment. And one other thing about controlling things within your home. I know with my children, when we had just moved back to the country, it's kind of when things started going on email and computers and things like that. And just with the initial dial-up and email, I let my children know that no matter what comes into the house, whether it has a stamp on it or if it comes across a computer screen, I can look at it. You know, it doesn't matter what form or what media. And I'm not so naive as to think that maybe they didn't slip something by me sometime, but they knew I'd be looking. And, you know, we're parents. We're not buddies. And your buddy can't do that to you, but a parent can. And I think we just need to make it very plain to our children on those things as well, that we are the ones in the home that control things.
That's a good point. I just want to clarify, too, on this last point. If you can send, you know, if you can answer, if a woman can answer a Bible question through a private avenue of these things where you're just sending it to one person, I don't think there's a problem with that. I think that falls within the parameters of the examples we have in Acts 18 and Acts 21. But the problem lies in that when it's posted to where more than what's consistent with a house-to-house setting can see that. And so just be very careful of what avenue you're posting that on or answering that question.
Greg, you just proven to us that it is not the size of the messenger, it is the size of the message. You've done a good job on that, I think.
Thank you.
I just got a couple of comments. One of them is, well, I might not make the other one, but one of them is on the Facebook. I heard this guy on the radio one time said this, and I believe it to be true. I'm not a Facebook fellow, although I got a nice-looking face. These people that post a lot of this stuff on Facebook for the 500 million and the 700 million whatever people that use it, wouldn't put a lot of this stuff on these road signs up here on the side of the road that we pass every day, but they would put it for the 700 million people that look at this thing. And I'd like to say, I'll go ahead and make my other comment. You know, I reckon, and I'm guilty of this, I am guilty of it, but I try to make it a point not to. You know, if you're standing there and talking to someone, and your little child runs up to you, and they say, Daddy, Daddy, or Mama, or Mama, or Brother, Brother. You say, no, son, I'm talking. And you're talking to somebody, and directly the cell phone rings, let me get this phone. Or what? I think that's a manneristic thing that we're dealing here. And there. But that's just my story, and I'll sit on the rest of it.
Greg, I really did appreciate your talk very much. And you had a lot of information, excellent advice and counsel, and appreciate that.
Thank you.
You know, one of the things that I try to tell young people is that if you think about, you know, of course, as you said, there are many other sites, but if you think about Facebook, and your average Facebook user has hundreds of friends, and there are some in this room who have well over 1,000 Facebook friends. And when you think about posting something on Facebook, I think that you should try to imagine yourself in an auditorium with every single one of those Facebook friends in the auditorium. And if you wouldn't vocally say what you want to post, then you shouldn't post it. I think that's a good rule of thumb, at least the way I think about it. One other thing, you mentioned a little bit about pornography. I think that's probably one of the greatest dangers of the internet because of the ease of access, as you talked about. Just a few statistics I happen to know because I have a sermon on this subject, but 25% of all search engine results are pornographic in nature. So every time you type something into Google, 25% of all those search engine results are pornographic. 8% of all emails are pornographic, and 12%, that's 1 in 8, of every internet website is pornographic.
I really appreciated what you had to say. And I'll say on the false teachers, Facebook is a forum for false teachers, that I absolutely agree with that. I have 6 mutual friends with Ron Willis, and that's a little disturbing to me. I mean, I didn't remember Ron Willis, but I know that he has left us, that he is not welcome in pulpits in our churches anymore. And yet there are people my age who are friends with him on Facebook, and he communicates with them. That's pretty frightening. And a few years ago, I did a little social experiment and started a false identity on Facebook. I won't say who it was. But within 2 weeks, I had over 500 friends, and nobody knew who I was. Nobody knew who I was. Nobody knew who it was. But somebody befriended me without thinking about it, and then other people befriended me because they had friends who were friends with me. And you know, that's a danger for predators of any kind, spiritual predators too. You know, people can get in there where they can communicate with you. But my question is about, I don't know what you'd call it, text language. When they started texting, you know, you might see it on a commercial where they say LOL and all this other stuff. People will post on their Facebook these little abbreviated, I guess it's an acronym, of curse words, of the Lord's name in vain, and, you know, talking about bodily functions that are immoral, and they would never spell out the full word, but they'll write it in text language, and that's part of the age we live in. And what do you think about that?
Well, I actually had that in my talk originally, and originally my talk was 65 minutes, and I had to trim a little bit here and a little bit there, and that was one of the things I took out. But yes, and for parents who are not up to date on the lingo, as it's called, I think that's what it's called, you can go online and you can get a list. And you may not know what LOL means or CUL8R means. Those are wholesome. Those are okay. But there are some other ones that, you know, you might not know. One that I saw was P411. That means your parents are watching. Or 411, yeah. 911, that's what it was. See, I don't even know. But anyway, you know, they might, you're there looking over their shoulder and they're telling their friends, hey, mom and dad's watching. And so it's probably a good idea, if there's any question, to go learn what these are and make sure that we inform our children, hey, just because it's abbreviated doesn't mean it's still not a curse word or a suggestive saying, and it's wrong. And just because we're typing it and not having it come out of our mouth, it's still wrong. It's still sinful. And so, number one, I think parents need to know what these are so that they can know to make sure that their children aren't using them, and teach their children, this is not appropriate. We can't abbreviate these things and think we can get away with it. It's still sinning using these kind of suggestive sayings and curse words, even though they're abbreviated. So a little learning and a little instruction, I think, will help us with that. That's a good point. But one more thing, by the way, I had heard about your little experiment, and I didn't want to name your name as doing it here without your permission, but I was hoping my little section there would lead into that, and you could, because that's true. I was shocked when I heard that 500 people, maybe some knowingly, maybe some unknowingly, but it just goes to show that not everybody's real careful about who they add as a friend, and next thing you know, this person who, you know, might seem harmless is hunting you down. And, you know, it's terrible, and we need to be very careful with those things.
We've talked a lot about some of the negative aspects of Facebook and all these internet sites, but there's a lot of good that comes from them, too. For instance, the last gospel meeting I was able to hold, I could invite 700 to 800 people in a matter of seconds. And I think that's something that we as the church can utilize and use. However, like we've been talking about, there are some negative things too, and I believe that we have some people that don't have any business posting on Bible topics. Now, you mentioned false teachers, and obviously their mouths need to be silenced, and I appreciate you for saying that. But my question to you is this: are there any guidelines that you can provide for who should or should not be able to post on a Bible topic?
Well, as we've already talked, I think women shouldn't be posting in a public arena anyway, or the public part of these sites, on a Bible topic. Obviously, false teachers have no business doing that, but they're going to do it. I think people who haven't studied very well and may not have the right information or the right understanding of a passage, they better get some help if they're going to answer a Bible question on there. I'm not sure if that answers your question, but I think it would be, I think we should use the same kind of guidelines that when you're answering a Bible question on there or posting something about a scripture or whatever, you're teaching. And I think we need to follow the same rules that the Bible gives for teaching. Brett talked about this passage this morning. I think it's 2 Timothy 2:2, if I have it right. You know, that first of all, that men need to be faithful. Paul told Timothy to teach other men to be teachers, and they needed to be faithful men, and they needed to be able men. And so, you know, a person who's running around living an immoral life online, and then he's answering Bible questions on there, what kind of a impression is that going to give on other people, especially those on the outside? The first thing that they're going to think of is, that's hypocritical. You're telling me how to live my life, and here you are posting a picture of yourself in some immoral or immodest clothing or doing some immoral thing. That's wrong. And I think people need to, first of all, they need to clean up their life before they start answering Bible questions and teaching in any forum. But the problem is, you know, they can sit in their living room and do that kind of stuff and with some degree of anonymity and you know, nobody's watching. And, you know, we wouldn't let them do that here, but they can do it there. And so anyway, and I do appreciate what you said about the positive things. And that was part of the 65 minutes. I trimmed some of that down. I kind of summarized in the beginning. But there are some very positive things that we can do with the internet. You know, I haven't been to the church here and their website. I haven't been to it, but I'm sure it's good and it has useful information. I've been to George's website, and it's very good. There's lots of good things on George's website. Others as well. Other congregations have websites. The OPA has a website, and there's some useful information there. So Clint and Sean, I think, had a website. I almost forgot. They have a website, and that's pretty good. So anyway, there's a lot of useful things out there, but we just have to be careful of the negative things. It's like anything else. There's good and bad, and we've got to use the good but avoid the bad.
About 2 years ago, I guess, I'm part of Facebook, and the way I have Facebook set up is everything's set on a private setting to where no one can just walk onto my page and look at all my information or see the pictures I post and things of that nature. I have to befriend you. But around prom season, every year it never fails, there's a lot of kids that post pictures from their prom and stuff that shouldn't be posted, for one thing, but I'm embarrassed for them, even though they don't know to be embarrassed by what they're posting or what they're doing. But anyway, about 2 years ago, I posted an article on modest apparel. And throughout the article, in between paragraphs, I would post, "If you're a woman, please do not respond," at the bottom of this posting. And I did that periodically through, and at the very end, I said, "Please, if you're a woman, do not respond," to the bottom of this. And there were women that would respond. And I would go through and I would delete their comments. And my question is this: when you have things set on a private setting like that, where it's only your friends that can see what it is that you're posting, I'm asking this for my own benefit. How would I explain to a woman that even when she has her stuff set on a private setting, but she's posting to 500 of her closest friends, and I use closest very loosely there, that's still public teaching, even though she thinks it's private?
Well, I think maybe part of the answer to that is that Paul talks about house-to-house teaching, and I think that's maybe more limiting than private. You know, we might go to a baseball game, and there might be 50,000 people at that baseball game, and they all had to buy a ticket. So in that sense, it's private because the people that are at that game had to have a ticket. If you don't have a ticket, you're not getting into that game. But there's 50,000 people there. So in one sense, it's private, but 50,000 people, in another sense, is not private. And I think that's why Paul uses house to house, because I think he's talking about a situation that's consistent with what we would find in a house, a family size gathering. And you know, what that number exactly is, I don't know that I can put my finger on that, but it's certainly not 50 people or 500 people or 50,000 people. And so I think that might help them, just showing them that, you know, private is one thing, house to house is more limiting. And Paul talked about teaching publicly and from house to house in Acts 20 and 20, and I think we can use that to help limit they're teaching. And you know, I don't want to portray our sisters as being wicked or evil because they're doing this. I'm assuming that most of them, if not all of them, just don't really realize that this violates the scriptures. And so we need to kind of go back and start from the beginning. Sometimes we get technology or things and you know, man, it's a good thing and it's fun, and we just jump in with both feet when we haven't really learned what the Bible says first. And how does what the Bible says apply to this thing? So let's not get a thing and start to practice it without knowing what the Bible says and how the Bible applies to this particular practice or thing. And I think that's where we need to start. We need to start with the Bible and see how it applies to this thing before we just jump in with both feet. So good question and comment.
Thank you for your talk. I have a question with about Facebook, like everyone else. But first, when a woman is in a classroom with 50 to 450 kids, like I have, and one person asks about her hair, and everyone else is wondering, like it always happens, is she supposed to only whisper it to that one person and withhold that valuable information from everyone else? Because there are some times where you can't, and then how does that apply to Facebook or bumper stickers or t-shirts or anything like that? Can you explain anything like that?
Well, if the classroom's got 50 kids in it, and she starts talking about why she doesn't cut her hair with the scriptures, I think that constitutes public teaching. You know, how does she handle that? Maybe one by one, or two by two, or three by three, or something. She can do that. Maybe she could have her husband do that. I mean, if it's in a school, let's say, where they'll allow that sort of thing. I know in California you can't teach the Bible in a classroom or anything about it. Maybe it's that way here, I don't know. But maybe she needs to have her husband or her father or a church leader. If people are really interested in learning about that, have them come in and do that if the school will allow it. You know, I think bumpers, anything like that, I think we need to be careful. If it constitutes public teaching where lots of people could see it, then maybe we better not be doing that. I think it goes back to what's the Bible say and how does this practice fit into that. If somebody has something to add to that, you know, there's all kinds of things that we might throw in there, and if somebody wants to add to that, that'd be fine.
I certainly won't be adding to that. I might ask what the word teach means there, what the Greek word there is for teach. Is it something that we're not necessarily thinking of when we think of teach? I don't know. That's not my question. Technology has allowed us to shrink the world in a very drastic way. Before, we may have had to go on a trip to a foreign country to conduct a work or to conduct a Bible study. Now we have things like Skype that allow us to do that sort of thing. But one of the more interesting aspects of that, I guess, for me, I recently received a friend request from a brother in India, brother that we work with there in India. I've not yet approved that. I wonder what you think about the wisdom of inviting these people from very different backgrounds and very different social circumstances into our world of privilege and our world of excess in many ways. And maybe there's something, I guess, in my mind that says maybe we should be really careful about that and put a temptation in front of them to really question God and question their circumstances.
Well, I agree with that, because our culture is not like the culture of other places. And, you know, if they're allowed into our cultural, the way we live and so on, that could present a temptation for them. You know, they see a great, I'm probably going to use the wrong word here, but more extravagant lifestyle than they have. And I think we need to be very careful with that. And I think you're right. I think there should be some wisdom. Maybe communication through email or something, if they're wanting to study or communicate, that would be a better way to do it than on Facebook.
If you feel like this question is off topic, I'll understand. But I'm 24 years old. I don't have experience as a father or anything like that. But when I am maybe at someone else's house, and I see just a stack of DVDs, or I see a computer in a child's room, their bedroom, or anything, how can I go about telling a mother or father of three or four children that they need to take some precautions, or is it even my place to say that?
Well, I don't know that it's not your place, but maybe you don't have enough money in the bank yet to just jump right in with both feet and start telling them how to raise their children. One way to approach it, you know, particularly like with maybe they've got a stack of movies there, and some of those movies, you know, have inappropriate content in them. Maybe that's the way to approach it. Maybe you could say, you know, I think I saw some of this movie, or I've heard about this movie, and, you know, it's got XYZ content in it, and, you know, I just wasn't sure if you were aware that was what was in this movie, and maybe that's not the best thing for little kids to be seeing. Maybe you can go about it like that. Because, yeah, I think, you know, the last thing a parent wants to be told is how to raise their kids and especially by somebody who doesn't have kids. I mean, I think most of us should be open and welcoming that, but the truth is not everybody is, so you have to be a little careful there with that.
There's been several people to ask questions here, and you and I have visited with about this, regarding sending out of the internet live the sessions of the preacher study or even a public assembly, like a Sunday morning service or whatever. Do you have any input that you would like to offer on that? And then I may have a follow-up.
Yes. Well, I don't believe we can do that because I think it violates what is taught in 1 Corinthians 14:23 and verse 26, where it talks about the whole church coming together in one place. If you're streaming your worship service or even this assembly here or something like that, they're not in one place. They're in another place. And I don't believe that fits within the parameters of 1 Corinthians 14.
Right. Well, the whole church come together in one place, it obviously
would prohibit
that.
Yeah, they're not in the same place.
They're not in the same place. Okay. I don't have any comment then.
I just want to say that I think you're doing great on these questions. And I just want to, I feel like that I want to say that I agree with what you're saying about women speaking on the internet, and I just want to endorse you and let brethren and sisters know that you're not the only one that feels that way. I think some other brethren have indicated that, but it is considered inappropriate by more than just you for a woman on Facebook or in a classroom with 50 students. That's inappropriate teaching for a woman, and 1 Corinthians chapter 2 deals with that. Alan's going to talk about this, I'm sure, on Wednesday during his talk, but maybe some will not be here to hear that. But 1 Timothy chapter 2 is dealing with any public situation, not just a worship service. And people feel like 1 Timothy chapter 2 is just worship. And it's not. It's any public situation a woman may not teach. 1 Corinthians 14 is a worship, or a church assembly, I should say.
Thank you. Yeah, if you look at the whole context of 1 Timothy 2, you can see that it's not just the worship service. Paul's just talked about everywhere, men praying everywhere, and then he goes, in like manner, he starts to talk about the woman. So, you know, women are to wear modest apparel, not just in the assembly, everywhere. Women are not to, and then it goes on with the part about teaching. They're not to teach in any place. And it's qualified by those passages in Acts. So, thank you, George.
Thanks for that trailer, George. Appreciate it. I thought you did a good job, Greg, and I think you're doing a good job on the questions, too. What we're dealing with here is a new technology. And you said that a minute ago, and I think it's very important. Now, Facebook is never going to be a problem for me, I can assure you. I don't have a Facebook page, and I'm not going to have a Facebook page. But what has happened and what often happens when there's some new technology, people rush into the vacuum, and they don't know what the Bible teaches about this. We went through this a few years ago in a much smaller way when a cappella began to imitate musical instruments with their voices because they had the technology to do it. Because you have the technology to do something doesn't mean you should be doing it. And we need to seriously address this in our congregations and with our young people. This is going to have to come from the teaching of the Word of God in the local churches. And if we don't get on the ball, this is going to be out of control. And yes, it's wrong for a woman to teach a class of 50 women while she has long hair. That's just not biblical. But I wanted to say something else. We've talked about using the internet and Facebook and these sorts of things to preach the gospel. And I know that's a good thing, but let's not just say that's a good thing and leave it there. Because I wanted to make a little point here. The reason Germany lost World War II, at least one of the major reasons, was because they couldn't take St. Petersburg or Petrograd. They couldn't take Petrograd because their soldiers outstripped their supply lines. They couldn't get supplies up there. And so, though they had it surrounded and besieged for months, they ended up losing not only Petrograd, but World War II. We can learn from that. If we're not careful with our internet foreign work, we're going to outrun our ability to supply these situations. You convert somebody over in Timbuktu, they don't know how to conduct a church service, they don't know how to worship, you can't go over there because you don't have the money or the time, and I think it's going to be pretty hard to teach everything you need to teach on Skype. And I think we need to be careful that we don't outrun our ability to supply the needs of the situations we start. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't use the internet to preach the gospel or anything like that. I'm just saying we need to be careful that we don't get too far out in front of ourselves.
Very interesting topic. I appreciate that. Thank you. I had a question about, is it the same thing, would it be the same thing as far as a violation of a woman teaching if instead of writing the verse out, if they were to put like Mark 16:16?
Well, I think it's still alluding to the scripture. Yeah, I would say yes. I'm about to have your talk preached for you, Alan, by the time we're done. Just one last thing. You know, when Alan called me and asked me to take this topic, I said, are you sure? I'm not on Facebook, and I do use the internet, but anyway, I knew Facebook was going to be kind of the focal point of this, so I appreciate his trust in me, and I kind of got a crash course on Facebook and learned some things, and I had no idea what it was all about and what the dangers were. So I appreciate the opportunity to learn a little bit more about this, and I'm going to try to teach some variation of this everywhere I go, because I really think, you know, we need to be very careful with this, and we need to learn what the dangers are and apply the Bible to it before we get ourselves in trouble. So thank you.